Good morning and welcome to all of you folks. It's good to see so many of you here, our friends, our neighbors, as we worship the risen Savior today. As we were driving here, and I'm sure you saw it as well, as you looked at the sunrise, what a beautiful picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is risen. He is risen. That's what the angels told the Marys, the different ladies that came to the tomb early that morning. The angels said, "He is risen." I want to talk about that in a little bit. First, what does the resurrection mean to you? What does it mean to me? Why? What is the significance of the resurrection? The Christian religion, if you want to call it a religion, is the only religion that has a Savior, a Redeemer, that can redeem us, and the only one that is alive. There are many religions that have leaders, but they have all died. They haven't come back to life. They can't do anything for them. But our Jesus, who rose from the dead, is alive forevermore to redeem us. We've heard a lot of that this morning, and I just love those hymns and those readings of the history of those that wrote those hymns. The story that they tell, we've already heard the resurrection story this morning in what we have listened to already. But I'd like to just think about for a few moments, what does a resurrection mean to you? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to us as Christian people? It means the resurrection has shown us love, the love of God for mankind. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's love for us was displayed through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it was the ultimate display of love when Jesus came to this earth as a baby, but then greater as he came to the end of his life, his short life, the end of his ministry, the reason that he came, that was his purpose. When he hung on that cross between heaven and earth, that was the ultimate display of God's love. And so the Bible tells us that if God so loved us, we should love each other as well. So that's where love comes from. God showed us love. God also showed us the resurrection also gives us life, eternal life. John 11:25, John says, "Jesus said unto her," and this is Jesus talking, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And this is the account of the raising of Lazarus. And Jesus is talking to Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." I like the way that Jesus often in his talking and so on, he said, "I am." God even did that in the Old Testament. He came to Moses, he said, "Tell Pharaoh that I am sent you." It's a definite, it's not I maybe, it's not could be, should be, but it's I am. You and I as Christian people can say, "I am a Christian," because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we can have the assurance that we have eternal life through the risen Savior as well. Romans 4:24-25. Paul is saying, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification." And so we are justified through the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's just as though we had not sinned. Can you imagine that? Can you fathom that? How can God look at a sinful person and and view us as though he doesn't see our sin. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We are free from blame or guilt. You know, if you were a prisoner, you were convicted of a crime, and you were before the judge, and the judge would tell you, you're free to go. There's no record against you. That would be a happy day, wouldn't it? There are many inmates in prison today that would love to hear those words. You are free to go. There is no blame or guilt against you. That's where you and I are. And yet we don't understand how that we were in this prison of sin. And yet we've been set free through Jesus Christ for what he did, the finished work on the cross. It's not just an event that is a historical event that we once a year we think about, we read about, we hear about. But it's a life-changing experience that every one of us hopefully have experienced in that. Also, the resurrection gives us a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope," or a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We live in a world today where there's a lot of folks that don't have much hope. They're just living. They're just existing. They don't know what's going to happen after they die. They don't have the assurance that there is life after death. Or they don't know. They don't know where they'll go. But Peter says, we have a living hope. You and I as Christian people that have experienced the salvation that Jesus has given us, we can be assured. We don't just have to stumble and wander through life, but we can, with a purpose, we can live life. With that hope that when we die, as Dale said in the beginning, there's a young lady out here 40 years old, not very old. It was a little bit, we would say, early in her life to die. Then there's other folks, 83 years old. We say, well, they lived a good long life. But they have a living hope. Those folks had a hope. They are now with God. I believe that. Romans also, the resurrection is essential for our salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Very familiar verses. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, if we confess, and if we believe, we'll be saved. For those that do not believe in the resurrection, they are the Bible would say they are of all men most miserable. But we have this love from God. We have experienced life, or we will experience eternal life. But it's not just the future. We have eternal life begins when you accept Jesus Christ into your life. I believe that. And it goes on. We just are transported from this life into the next life. We are justified. We have a living hope. And if we confess and believe, we can know that we have eternal life as well. We have been saved. So I want to look a little bit at the different the accounts of the Gospels where the ladies, the Marys, it says usually it's Mary Magdalene. Sometimes it's Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and so on. The different writers had different views and ideas of what was important to them, what they recorded. I don't think there's any contradictions. I think it's simply in the way that they saw it, and it's the way they recorded it. But in Matthew 28, verse 7, when the Marys came to the tomb, early in the morning, it says, they couldn't wait. The Sabbath was just over, and so I believe they came probably right at daylight. And they came to anoint the body of Jesus for burial. And they brought spices and so on, as the custom was. And so they found, you know, I can just, if you can view yourself, if you had been there, years gone by, there was a song, many of you maybe probably heard it as well, and I forget some of it, but it is, Were You There, is how it starts, and then it gives different things. Were you there? Did you see it? Obviously, none of us were there. But as you went through this week, I don't know what your mind was on and what you were thinking about, but especially the last few days, as you think about the crucifixion and what it must have been like and what the Bible records. And as Brian said, the weather sort of was fitting for this weekend. You know, it says that in the middle of the day, the sun was turned to darkness when Jesus was, when he died on a cross. So there were things that happened that were shocking. They were different, unusual, got people's attention. There were people disappointed, especially his followers and these Marys. It says that Mary, she just wept and she wept. But what was such a sad account turned out to be such a joyous one as well. Today, we celebrate that. And I think the disciples did later, after they caught on, after they understood. They were active, and they did what Jesus told them to do. But in Matthew 27, it says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." In Mark 16:7. Again, they come there, and Mark records, "Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." And then in John 20, verse 17, this was Jesus himself. When Mary came there, he told her, "But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And then in Luke 23, there's a number of different verses there, 49, and then in 55 and 56, and then 24, verse 9, and that's the one where Jesus, where the angel said, I'm sorry. This is Luke's recording, was a little bit different, a little more detailed, and he tells, the ladies came there to again anoint the body of Jesus for burial. And it says they returned, and it says the women. And so there was a crowd of those that followed him from Galilee. When Jesus left there's a crowd that followed him. And it says the women. So I think there were many women, many people. And it says, and they returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. So what do we get from this? What do we do with this? Do we go out tomorrow morning and I would just go back to work to our usual things that we do and we're silent? They were told to go and tell. I don't think that God expects anything less than that from us. So I think the challenge for us today is go and tell. The world needs to hear. The world needs to know. And actually, when just as Jesus, before he ascended, that's the proclamation that he gave us to do. Go into all the world and tell and teach and preach the gospel. And so let's do that as we leave and as we finish the day. It's not tomorrow, a week from now, we'll sort of forget some of these things, but let's never forget the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. In closing, we're going to play a song. I was going to have this all prepared, and I forgot. So, what I'm going to do is read the words, and then we're going to have a recording played of a group singing this song. The title is Arise, My Love. Not a word was heard at the tomb that day, just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 day, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus had breathed his last? Could it be that his Father had forsaken him, turned his back on his Son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget him, he's dead. Then the Father looked down on his Son and said, Arise, my love, arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise, my love. The earth trembled, and the tomb began to shake. And like lightning from heaven, the stone rolled away. And as dead men, the guards stood there in fright, as a power of love displayed its might. Then suddenly, a melody filled the air, riding wings of wind. It was everywhere. The words all creation had been longing to hear, the sweet sound of victory, so loud and clear.
Was heard at the tomb that day, just shuffling of soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus had breathed his last?
Could it be that his Father had forsaken him and turned his back on his Son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget it, he's dead. Then the Father looked down to his Son and he said,
was everywhere. The words sweet sound of victory, so loud and clear.
Arise, my love, arise, my love, the grave no longer has a hold on you, no more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise.
Where are your shackles at? Where is your sting? Hell has been defeated.
The grave could not hold the king.
Amen. That's a touching song. It's a great song, and I love that. All right, we're going to pray, and I'll ask a blessing on the food as well. And then as soon as we're finished, you can make your way to the gym. I believe the food is ready, and you can have some breakfast. Father, we're again grateful this morning that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We thank you, God, that we serve a living Savior and that we are the recipients of your love. Thank you for the way that you have displayed your love to us. And God, help us in turn to do as the angels told the women, go and tell. Help us to not be silent, but help us to spread the good news to those that we meet. Bless each person that is here today. Thank you for their presence. May you go with them. May you help them and help them to have a good day. And may they bring honor and glory in the things they do to you. We thank you also for the food that has been prepared. And I pray that you would bless all those that have labored and provided. And we pray that you would bless it to our bodies, that we would receive strength for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.